more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome into Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning. Down on the app, the Tide 100.9 app, you can put that on your smartphone, take us with you anywhere you go. Also, you can send an app message anytime throughout the show. You want to email us, do it at wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. They want to make this 7 o'clock hour possible. So guys, always remember, if you want to build the 5-star backyard, Yellowwood is your only choice. If it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. All right, busy time now in sports. Baseball's over, but college basketball was in full form last night. I got to watch some games at the house, so we could talk a little bit about those. I know Dad went to Coleman Coliseum and saw Alabama beat North Dakota 91-62. Good morning, Chase. Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing okay. I am hanging in there. Got a problem with my phone or something, but hopefully I can get it fixed. The games last night, everybody won that was supposed to win, except Florida, who won the national championship last year. They got beat at Arizona.
Well, it was in Vegas. The game was in Vegas.
Okay. Anyway, Florida got beat. And so anyway, Bethune played Auburn into an overtime, 95-90. Alabama played a lot of people. I'm not going to go through stats. They played a lot of people, have a lot of players. No use to be trying to cover that with you, but it's about what it was. Everybody played somebody they could beat, pretty much so. We have Avery Johnson on today. I was able to get him on. He talked about pro basketball as well as some of the kids that he had on his team here at Alabama that are in pros. Brent Key has been mentioned at Auburn. I just mentioned that. I don't know if that's going to happen in football or not. We have 5 conference games. Alabama's a 6:30 game at LSU, and Auburn's a 3 o'clock game up at Nashville. And we have mixing football and basketball together right now. So that's about it. Kirkpatrick has been suspended from the team. He left the scene after a speeding accident, speeding problem. He left the scene, was arrested, and now they have suspended him for the LSU game. Outside of that, not a whole lot to talk about. What the score of the game last night, as Barry mentioned, was 91-62. And so we have 5 conference games. We have 1 non-conference game, but 10 teams are playing each other in the league, 16-team league. So we welcome your calls, and are you happy to try to answer any questions that we can answer for you? And basketball is off to a good start for a lot of the SEC teams, I think. And it'd be pretty good. So we welcome your calls.
Yeah, last night, Alabama was down 4 players, Reitzel, Holloway, Bristow, and I think 1 other as well. So I don't know. I think one of them's got a finger, one of them's got an ankle. Seems like they always have guys out. I think they actually practice them too much. They just get, I'm not talking about just Alabama. These guys practice year round now. You got to give them a little bit of a break. These guys seem to get beat up a lot. So four guys out. Well, hopefully they'll be back when they travel to New York and play St. John's on Saturday morning, 11 o'clock. Florida, I did watch Florida, Arizona. Florida, game was in Vegas. Florida will be up for the national championship again. I know they lost the game. They were up double digits early. Got two really good transfers. They got an Ivy League guard, and they got the kid Boogie Flynn, and they got the big kids all back inside. And so Florida is going to be a problem. I know Arizona's freshmen went crazy there, but based on what a little bit I've seen, I think Florida will be picked to, or should be up there to win the SEC again as long as they stay injury-free. Auburn, I think Bethune-Cookman was pretty good. I did get to watch the game. I don't know if you guys saw the end. Auburn makes two free throws to go up three with 4 seconds or 3.5 seconds. Bethune-Cookman, guy's dribbling up, shoots a half-court shot. The Auburn guy fouls him. He jumps up, jumps into him when he shoots the half-court shot. The guy makes all three free throws. The game goes into overtime. And Auburn does end up winning. Stephen Pearl looked a little bit like a deer in headlights over there last night, first game. So we'll see how he adjusts there. So, but anyway, I know Georgia won big and Tennessee won pretty big. Everybody else won big. But don't let that Florida score fool you. Florida is really good. They run really good offense. They got the big guys back, and they got some transfer guards in there. I think Arkansas is better as well. So it should be a good year in the SEC, don't you think, Dan?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very good. It's going to be about six teams of the 16. It's going to be very, very good. The others, you know, there'll be some that will be better than we think. Maybe we can avoid injuries, a chance to really Alabama should have a really good year. Auburn is going to have a wait-and-see year, in my opinion, but we'll see.
Yeah, I just didn't. I don't know. I think Reggie Theus used to play in the NBA, was coach for Bethune-Cookman, and they couldn't stop Bethune-Cookman. Maybe Bethune-Cookman's good. Time will tell. Tonight, you got three SEC teams play, one big game. You got Nicholls State, takes on Kentucky. Kentucky 29.5-point favorite there. North Carolina A&T goes to South Carolina, but the big game's 7:45. And I guess this will be right after they do the college football rankings because that comes on at 7. This game's on at 7:45. Texas will take on Duke, and they will play in Charlotte. I know Duke lost a lot of those guys, but Duke is currently ranked in the top 10 and 8.5-point favorite tonight in Charlotte.
They've already beaten Tennessee.
Who has?
Duke did.
In an exhibition game. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood hotline. We'll bring Philip into the show. Oops, I just accidentally cut off Philip. Have Philip call us right back. We'll take a break. We'll get you right back when we get back from break. 2 minute truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Give them a call today for the free estimate. 205-247-5050. 2 minute truck. Movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Northport has a new mayor and council after last night's inaugural ceremonies at Northport City Hall. In brief remarks, Mayor Dale Phillips praised the council. Jamie Dykes was elected council president, while Woodrow Washington was elected pro tem with one negative vote. Dykes and Washington are the only returning members of the council. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free throughout the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Hi, Southside 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, continuing to move at posted speed for your Tuesday. Now, rush to work? Yeah, you're definitely going to have that. So, up in Northport, 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. That is a little bit on the slower side. And we're also slowing down, hitting those brakes on 43 on the southbound lanes to McFarland at that intersection.
Powertrain warranty. And right now, get up to $7,000 off new Nissans. Family owned, serving Tuscaloosa for over 50 years. Townsend Nissan, where peace of mind comes standard.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance in a
5339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurleen B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. And roll Tide.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJRed.com.
Your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College. Congressman Robert Adderholt and Taco Casa.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that. That's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice warm-up today with a sunny sky, the high 72. For tonight, fair with the low at 44. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. A good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons, highs between 73 and 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
To Inside the Locker Room, Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline, get Philip in. What's up, Philip?
Morning. How y'all doing? How y'all doing today? How you doing, Coach Sampson?
I'm doing okay.
All right. Hey, I just want to say this, I was really pleased with the work that the freshmen put in last night on the basketball court. I thought they performed very, very, very well. And I would like to say, too, that Davian Hanna, that's got to be a guy that Coach Sanderson would love to coach. I bet your coach would love to coach that guy. And my other comment,
player.
Oh, yeah, he looks like a Wimp Sanderson kind of player to me. Another comment, and this is per Auburn. Per Auburn, I'm gonna start listening a little bit better and paying attention a little bit better to Wimp, because I think Wimp knows a lot about that situation.
Cohen had a press conference yesterday, and he took a lot of questions, and he said the entire time he's been there, he hears all the narrative about the Auburn boosters and all metal. He said that has not been his experience. Not one time has he had a guy who gives a bunch of money come to him and tell him who he should hire, who he should fire, what he should do. So he says that's just a big myth. And he said it's put out by a school in the state. And I'm assuming he meant not to put words in his mouth, but that's something that Alabama puts out that Auburn meddles. Now, He claims it doesn't happen, but I hear people continue to say that the people in the back do. Dad would know better than me, obviously, whether that's true or not.
I think in Brent Key, there are two things that come to my mind. Number one, he's hard-nosed. He's a very good football coach. He's very hard-nosed. And number two, he has experience with Alabama. He's a Nick Saban guy, and Nick Saban has a lot of respect for him. Not that that means anything, but it doesn't hurt. And I think, but I have no idea if that's, he'd gotten that from a little rumor that doesn't mean jack anything. I don't know who's going to get the job, but I think he will be somebody that they'll look at. I think those two choices, his temperament and his coaching ability, and having been at Alabama. That's what I think, but I could be wrong.
Well, is Cohen going to make this hire, or is he, or is it going to be a sort of a group situation? Because if he makes the hire, I might kind of believe what he said. But if it's not all in his lap, then I'm not going to believe what he said.
Well, he's going to run it. He's going to run it by the money people. There are two factions there, and he's going to run it by them. Or they're going to meet and they're going to discuss the four or five candidates that they feel like that they're interested in and go from there. When they meet, one or two of those candidates will be eliminated by somebody who doesn't like them, of course. But they'll get that thing down to about three and go from there. And I won't know myself, because I don't know that much, just a little bit. But I would say that, to answer your question, it'll be a combination of all of them talking together and talking it out.
One thing I don't understand about these jobs is he had a clear-cut buyout. If you fire him, this is what they're going to get. They asked John Cohen about it. He said, well, we're still working on that. The legal people are working on that. It'll be a while before that's settled. What is it to work out? If you owe the buyout, I guess there's a situation, if he gets another job, then you can deduct that money off of what he makes there. But I don't understand why these things are even having to be negotiated. That's confusing to me.
My understanding is that he's in the process of being able to get another job and still get his money.
Okay.
Barry, what do you think some of these jobs are going to start getting filled like? I would think some of these jobs they're going to start needing to get filled around Thanksgiving weekend, 1 year before.
Well, I think if you're hiring a guy who's not coach, if you hire James Franklin, I think you can hire him in the next couple of weeks. You know, he's not coaching a team. If you're hiring anybody else, when the regular season's over, I think these guys will jump. The ones that aren't in the playoff, they'll leave. We've seen it before. They leave these teams before the bowl. So I would say, I guess you'd say after Thanksgiving, after that Iron Bowl, that next week, a lot of these jobs will start. They'll start to fill them.
I will answer your question like this too, Philip. They'll see how J.D. Durkin does as a defense coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to hire him. But they're going. If he goes to Nashville and blows Vanderbilt out with his defense on the way they play offensively, and comes in and beats Alabama, then that's I guess a far fetched probably. But that we'll take a look at. That'll be in the conversation.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. I think if they beat Vanderbilt this weekend, I think he's really spiced up his resume for that job. I really do. And I was going to ask you guys before I go, appreciate you having me on, let me talk. Which school out of these top five, LSU, Florida, Penn State, Auburn, Arkansas, which one of those schools in your mind will be the first notch to be scratched off?
Go ahead, Dan.
You're
talking about the first to hire a coach?
Yes, sir.
I don't think it'll be Penn State, because I think James Franklin may be one of the first guys hired, obviously, so he's not going to Penn State. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. This depends.
James Franklin looking at Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech's just an all right job. I don't think it's a great job, personally. But.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you think the Clemson situation sort of, Dabo goes back next year?
Yeah. I do.
Do you not, Phil?
You know what? He's one of my guys that if you're Auburn, you got to just call him. You got to call him.
If you're Auburn, you call him. Yeah. You think that'd be a good hire for Auburn?
Shoot, yeah.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah. He's going to have to swallow whatever he's got to where he doesn't want to do portal and NIL and all that. He's going to have to swallow that and change his ways, or he's going to get left behind.
If he were to negotiate with Auburn, you know, he'd have all sorts of people calling him from the Auburn athletic family, people like Charles Barkley and Frank Thomas and folks like that. You know, they'd be letting him know kind of, you know, things would be a little bit different. I think he'd hear from a lot of folks, and it would initiate a new start for Dabo and a new way of thinking, and I think he'd adapt to it, you know. But you got to call that guy. You got
to call
him.
Job he's got is very similar to Auburn.
Yes.
To be honest with you, you know, smaller town there. And I think John Cohen said Auburn, as bad as they've been, had 19 straight sellouts. So they do have the fan base that will support, and they're dying for a winner. And so they got to get that quarterback stuff straight. So they better go find the quarterback whisperer, whoever that is. So, all right, Philip.
Good talking to you guys. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Thomas Ribshack, food like grandma used to make it. You'll love the down home style barbecue restaurant right there on 15th Street. You're looking for some catered barbecue for the weekend. You got people coming in to tailgate, then just give them a call there. They'll set you right up. Ribs, pork, fish, pork chops, baked chicken, all the sides you want, the desserts, the cobblers. Give them a call today, 205-759-5010, or go to thomasribshack.com. When you get by there, tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. Kevin Skarbinski is next. This is Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, continuing to move at posted speed for your Tuesday. Now, rush to work? Yeah, you're definitely going to have that. So, up in Northport, 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. That is a little bit on the slower side. And we're also slowing down, hitting those brakes on 43 on the southbound lanes to McFarland at that intersection.
After the game, the Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Inside the locker room. Get right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's with the Birmingham News, has his own podcast. We'll talk about that at the end. It's brought to you by Yellowwood, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. Enjoy having him on every Tuesday. Kevin Skarbinski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. How are you today?
Oh, we're good. Kevin, I was looking at your Twitter account or X account, whatever you call it. Pretty interesting what you had to say there about is the same leadership that failed by hiring Hugh Freeze capable of fixing that mistake? You're talking about the Auburn football hire. Just dig a little deeper into that for the listener.
Sure. That's always a concern, I think, when a school has to fire a coach that was hired by essentially the same leadership team, whether it's the athletics director, the trustees, the key boosters, when those people are still in place, and they clearly got it wrong the last time, And some of those same people, not including the athletic director, who was different at the time, were involved in hiring Brian Harsin. So Auburn has swung and missed wildly on its last two football hires. And again, the same group that signed off on Hugh Freeze is going to go look for a coach now. And so there are concerns, I can tell you, among Auburn supporters about, you know, the leadership of the athletic department that extends beyond the athletic director. So I think that's a giant question going forward.
Yeah, that. Is he there? I don't know. We lost him there. You know, John Cohen had the press conference yesterday. I think that, and I'm not going to word it perfect, but they basically talked about behind the scenes meddling that goes on at Auburn. And he said, I've heard the narrative, but that has not been my experience at Auburn. I've never had one booster or guys that give money come up and tell me what to do coaching wise, who to hire, who to fire. Is that true, Kevin, in your opinion?
I think John was very clever in his wording.
Yeah.
In the response to that question, I thought it was a good question to ask. And, you know, that he knows, and anyone who really knows college athletics knows, it's seldom that direct. You know, a powerful booster necessarily come to the athletic director and say, you have to hire this guy.
Yeah.
But they have ways of letting their feelings be known. Let's just put it that way. And by the way, this is not unique to Auburn. Auburn gets it has been more public, perhaps, at Auburn. It has been talked about more regarding Auburn. But there are powerful boosters of just about every program you can think of who, because they give such support financially and in other ways, that they feel entitled to at least have their opinion heard, if not always followed. So they make it clear in different ways what they would like to see happen. So I think John was a little disingenuous, and he was playing words a bit in that answer to that question.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I got in late. If you had to name a coach that would be the best one that you could get right now, who was your name?
Well, and see, this is where the word best is what everybody has different opinions about. You know, the coach that you're not going to hire a coach who has a team on the path to the national championship right now. I just don't believe that. Because for the most part, those guys don't leave. What you have to, the best coach for Auburn might be a coach who doesn't have the biggest name, who hasn't been to the playoff yet, who hasn't won a championship yet, or maybe he has won championships but at a lower level. And one of the things that stood out to me, I'm leading up to something here, so bear with me for a second. And one of the things that stood out to me in John Cohen's statement on Sunday announcing, I love this euphemism, a change in leadership in the football program, was that they want someone who's going to compete annually for championships. Well, that's a nice goal, but Auburn hasn't competed annually for championships since Pat Dye was the coach in the late 80s. So if I'm Auburn, I want someone who has a little Pat Dye in them, someone who's a ball coach, someone who's not a poser or a televangelist or someone who's going to tweet out pictures of himself weightlifting in his basement. I want someone who's a ball coach at heart. And that's why I think Brent Key from Georgia Tech and John Sumrall from Tulane, both of whom are Alabama natives, have recruited this state. John Sumrall in particular has great relationships with the coaches in this state. You know, guys that haven't done it at the highest level yet, Brent Key obviously doing a great job at Georgia Tech in the ACC, but that's not the SEC either. So I think those are the best, to me, those look like the two best coaches out there. Now, Then there are the former OCs, you know, Rhett Lashley, who just agreed to an extension at SMU. I don't think he's coming. Kenny Dillingham has a lot of support, the guy at Arizona State. He's young. He's energetic. He's got a fire to him, an edge to him, and that's something that John Cohen emphasized a lot. He wants a coach with edge. Hugh Freeze clearly had lost his edge. So I don't think you're going to go the retread route, although I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't some people in the Auburn family – who think it might be a good idea to bring back a guy like bringing a guy like Jimbo Fisher or Dan Mullen. And I'm not saying that those would fail, but I think they're more likely to go the younger, up and coming, hungry route this time.
It sounds like maybe DJ Durkin has a real chance to get the job if the team. But how good they were defensively, if they were to turn around offensively, it looks like he can run this team. They run this schedule out, which I guess it's possible. I hear people talk about his problem in Maryland. I don't understand that. Like, so you're the problem in Maryland. He could be a coordinator, but he couldn't be the head coach because of the problem. Like, I mean, at some point, you know, you have to move on. People make mistakes, whatever happened there. Does DJ Durkin have a real chance if he were to run this thing out to get this job, Kevin?
I think yes, and I think that would be a horrible idea. And not because that a player died on his watch, so to speak, at Maryland. I don't know that it's fair to hold him personally accountable. And as other people have pointed out, a player died at Auburn when Pat Dye was there. People may have forgotten, but before the 1983 season, Greg Pratt, very popular running back on that team, died after an off-season conditioning workout. And that stunned everybody and hurt everybody. I know it hurt Pat Dye deeply. I was not in the business at that time. I was still in college, but I know a couple of years later when I did get in the business and started covering Auburn, how much that stayed with Pat Dye. So, and I don't know that people held, and nobody held that against Pat Dye. So, and you make a great point. They already hired him. So that's not an impediment. However, he has had a brief tenure as a head coach at Maryland, and it was awful. He was 5-10 overall. He only won a few. I don't have the numbers in front of me. He had a losing record as a head coach. He had a losing record in the Big Ten. And most importantly, he was 1-8 against ranked opponents. And in those nine games, his teams, he being a defensive guy, gave up an average of 45 points a game and lost by an average margin of 34 points a game. They lost to Michigan 3, Ohio State 62-3, Penn State 66-3 in his 2 years as a head coach. Come on, what are we doing here? And by the way, the last guy they hired was hired in no small part because he beat Alabama twice 10 years ago. You're telling me that you're going to, in a fit of emotion and celebration, if you manage to upset Alabama in a few weeks, you're going to hire a coach who, because he beat Alabama once? Bad idea. Bad idea. But it's Auburn, so I wouldn't surprise me.
Well, is it important before you hire whoever you hire? I think the head coaches, quite honestly, get maybe too much blame and too much credit. When I look at Dabo, when he lost those coordinators, he all of a sudden wasn't quite as good a coach. You got to have good coordinators, Kevin. Alabama, yep. This year, Ryan Grubb has made a big difference. You know, just the play calls that he makes in critical times. You have an inexperienced coordinator in there. You make a couple bad calls there. You lose these games. Before I can hire this guy, I'm going to want to know who's going to be your offensive and defense coordinator. Now, obviously, they can leave. I understand that. But you got to get this thing turned around. I almost think the coordinators are more important than the head coach, Kevin.
Well, I think it's the combination. And you are spot on. And you are failing as a leader if you don't get the answers to that question. When you're talking to potential coaches, you've got to know who their coordinators are going to be, because that position is those positions on offense and defense are as important as ever, and they can make the difference between, as you said, between winning and losing a close game, a call here, a decision there. Can make all the difference in them. And you're right. Dabo hasn't been the same since Brent Venables left to become a head coach, his defensive coordinator for years, his outstanding defensive coordinator, and Tony Elliott. He had co-offensive coordinators, but the last one to leave was Tony Elliott.
Well, he also lost, he became the Virginia coach. Brad Scott's son to South Florida. And so they really haven't been the same since those guys left.
Jeff Scott. Yeah, they had Yeah, Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott were co-offensive coordinators. So those guys all left at different times to become head coaches, and you're right. Clemson hasn't been the same since. And no, look, Dabo was never even a coordinator himself, but he was a good head coach. He was an excellent head coach because he managed people. He put together a good staff. He kept them longer than a lot of people are able to do. So he just hasn't been able to replicate that. And you could say that about Nick Saban. You know, there are only so many Kirby Smarts and Jeremy Pruitts and Lane Kiffins and Steve Sarkisians out there as coordinators. And Nick had a great steady stream of guys who were on both sides of the ball. And then it dropped off towards the end of his tenure. And they weren't as dominant. So, and they didn't win championships at the same rate. So that is so important. And, yes, that's one of the first things I want to know if I'm interviewing potential coaches. Who are your coordinators going to be?
Yeah, that.
No, I don't. I agree. I don't really have anything else. What's going to happen here is that, and I didn't realize that really DJ had that bad of a record. He won't get the job if he holds Vanderbilt, Alabama scoreless.
Yeah, they probably need to figure out how to keep him as a defense coordinator. They can do that. Exactly. Yeah. So.
Sure.
Well, that's an interesting proposition in and of itself, because you know the coaches you might want to hire.
I know. Yeah.
You can't tell them. You know. You can't say, okay, here's, and this is, trust me, this has happened at Auburn in recent years, in recent hires. You know, again, it's not necessarily direct, but you might want to give it a lot of thought to hiring so and so as the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator. That has happened at Auburn in recent years, I can tell you that. So you gotta hire a guy and let him hire his staff, but you got to know who the key members of that staff are going to be going in.
I don't understand. Dad cleared it up a little bit. I mean, I do understand. When they say, if you have a buyout, I mean, it should be cut and dry. Now, if you take another job, I understand that money could offset. When they say they're still working on the buyout, are they going to say, well, hey, look, you may get another job. Hey, look, we're not going to give you the whole whatever million. We'll give you a little bit less. But if you get a job, you won't have to pay. You won't have to – it won't offset. What are we negotiating here, Kevin, I guess is my question on these buyouts. If it's
– Yeah, I'm with you, Barry. I don't understand it. Because a contract is a contract, right?
I thought.
And it states very clearly what the separation terms are. So I don't understand why there's a negotiation here. I cannot imagine – if I'm you, Freeze – why would I take one penny less than my contract entitles me to go away? Why? Why would you do that?
I mean, are these people told? Are they told, go through every expense report, see if he did anything wrong? I mean, hopefully not.
Yes.
You know, yes. Did they do that, Kevin?
No, I do think there are lawyers. I think every school has lawyers that do those kind of things. Especially when it ends badly, as it most often does.
Yeah.
I mean, most coaches don't leave for better jobs. Most of the time, the guy is told to leave because he wasn't getting the job done or meeting expectations. So yes. But you have bean counters on staff or on retainer that will do exactly that. And I think that's dirty pool, to be honest. And if there were a problem with the coach, if there were things he was doing that you thought were in violation of his contract, you didn't fire him for those reasons. You didn't say or give him notice, you know, hey, we see you're fudging on your company credit card. You're making whatever it might be, you know, making personal expenses on your company credit card. And not to mention, I believe Hugh Freeze is represented by one Jimmy Sexton. And Auburn official/lawyers versus Jimmy Sexton through the years has been one of the biggest mismatches in college athletics history. Jimmy Sexton has taken him to the cleaners time and time again in contract negotiations, going back to Gus Malzahn's last big raise and extension after the 2017 season, or before it was even over. So I don't like Auburn's chances there, but it does. It just seems petty, doesn't it? It just seems petty to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. The College Football Committee will have their rankings out tonight. I mean, do you think we'll see any surprises tonight? Generally, the only thing, like, you look at the poll, the AP poll, Texas is 13 and Oklahoma is 11. They have the same record. And Texas, didn't they beat Oklahoma by 17? So why would they be ranked ahead? Why would Oklahoma be ranked ahead of Texas is what I don't really understand in the AP poll. But what do
well,
you
go Texas ahead. Has a, yeah, Texas has a better Texas has the better loss, obviously, at Ohio State. They have that's probably the maybe the best loss in the country, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't a blowout. It was a close game. People forget that. People because Texas offensively didn't look great in that game, people kind of remember it as a one-sided affair. It was not. It was in doubt until the final minutes or so. I mean, Texas almost had, if I recall right, I do know it was a close game. So that's a quality loss.
14-7, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It's a quality loss for Texas. And then Texas, as you said, they have the head-to-head against Oklahoma at a neutral site, I might add. Not on Texas home field, although it is in the state of Texas. Anyway, if you look at resume, those are the things people should look for tonight. How do they separate Texas and Oklahoma? How do they separate the two loss SEC teams? Where do they put Indiana, which has dominant wins against a very good win against Oregon on the road, a pretty thorough win. Indiana pretty much controlled that game in the second half, but a lot of dogs on that schedule. But thorough beatings of those dogs. So how do they compare that to Ohio State and Texas A&M? Texas A&M has some good wins. Texas A&M beat Notre Dame. What do they do with Notre Dame? These are the subtle things people should look for tonight. They can always change their mind week to week and certainly when they get to the final poll. But this will give us some indication of what they value. And are they emphasizing strength of record, which the SEC has been hammering and got them to include a strength of record metric in their deliberations. So we'll see how some of that comes out tonight.
Does Alabama have anything to worry about this Saturday? Nobody's really talking about it. It's kind of died down after that governor did whatever he did. It's died down over there. I think LSU will come in here ready. Does Alabama got anything to worry about this Saturday at 6:30?
Yeah, I would say yes. Because we've seen a pattern this year of teams under interim coaches come out and play inspired. Look what UAB did to Memphis after UAB fired Trent Dilfer. That should never have happened. There's no comparison between those two teams. But UAB came out inspired and won. Even Florida against Georgia under Billy Gonzalez, their interim coach, who, again, this is where Frank Wilson, I see similarities between Billy Gonzalez and Frank Wilson, the interim coach at LSU. Both those guys been around the program, been in the program at different times for a long time. They're very well liked by the players. They recruited a lot of players. And they gave a great effort on their behalf, the Gators did, in Jacksonville, and really got to be kicking themselves. I mean, you're in position to put the game away on that drive where they got stopped on third and fourth and short when they had the lead. And then Georgia goes down and does what Georgia does. They slide under the trap door just before it closes, like Indiana Jones, as they've done all year. But Florida, again, and if DJ Lagway, someone should do a scientific study on how they turned DJ Lagway, how Billy Napier and the coaching staff turned DJ Lagway into a promising prospect, and he has gone nothing but backward this year. That controversy, you did. I'll give you credit for that. And I will say, I don't know how much of that's on DJ Lagway and how much of that's on the coaching staff. Because I couldn't help but think of Ty Simpson. That long pass, when Florida had a guy 50 yards behind the defense, and DJ Lagway is scrambling to his left, and he throws off balance on the run, and his throw comes up short. The receiver slips. I think it was a catch. It was too close to call to overturn it, and they called it incomplete on field, so it stayed incomplete. But Ty Simpson, what would Ty Simpson have done in that situation? He would have stopped. He would have set his feet. He would have his shoulders, and he would have hit the guy, and the guy would have walked into the end zone for a touchdown. And the difference between a championship quarterback and a guy who has gone backwards is DJ Lagway has. So that's for all those reasons, yes, LSU can come in. If they play inspired like that, like Florida did, like UAB did with their interim coaches in the first game under those interim coaches, then yes, Alabama better be ready to play and not think that they're going to walk over LSU because LSU has three losses.
All right, lastly, Kevin, it's too early to say this, but I think Auburn's going to miss Bruce Pearl after watching last night. I don't know. Maybe that's good. But
I can tell you they are.
It just don't look right over there. It doesn't look the same. They easily could or should. I mean, the free throws in that game, what was it, Kevin? And you fouled the three-point shooter.
38-9.
You fouled the three-point shooter.
38-9 in free throws.
But think about that. Those three free throws, they got with 0.5 seconds on the clock, contributed to those nine.
Yes. Yeah, three of them came, as you said, after a brain dead foul.
What was he doing?
At mid-court.
It was a foul. Yeah. It was a definite foul.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think first your original premise is spot on, as Wimp agreed. They are going to miss Bruce Pearl terribly, and there are people at Auburn, I can tell you, who are angry at the way Bruce manipulated the situation to get Steven the job and not conduct. This is what I would be upset about, especially if I were an Auburn fan. They did not conduct a national search. They did not see who was interested in the job. They did not see if they could hire a better coach with more experience and more accomplishment than Steven Pearl. And they basically let Bruce, again, manipulate the situation to hand the job to his son. And I will say this, because we've seen this at Auburn on the football field. What did people say about Hugh Freeze? Man, Brian Harsin left the cupboard bare. It was going to take Hugh Freeze 3 years. Well, Bruce Pearl didn't exactly leave the cupboard full for Steven Pearl. And you look at that roster compared to last year, 10 new players. Some of those guys didn't even play D1. A couple of those guys have never played D1 basketball before, a couple of transfers. So they don't have size. They don't have interior defense. They had as good an interior defense as just about anybody last couple of years with Dylan Cardwell and Jani Broom. They don't have interior defense. They don't look like they're going to be very good defensively in general. And I think they're going to struggle. And this may be a 500 team before it's all.
They're going to be anywhere from 10 to 16, starting number 10.
In the SEC.
16. Yeah, they'll be between 10 and 16.
I know they lost
and
last
so the
night.
Question becomes, and I know it's one game, it's a long season, but – Can you put a coach on the hot seat in his first year, especially if he's the son of the best coach in school history or the most accomplished coach in school history? Wimp doesn't like the word best because he likes to remember Joel.
I think they put me on one.
Also, I know they lost last night, but Florida's back. Florida's good, Kevin, really good. So,
I watched a good bit of that game. Yeah, the guards don't have the guards they had last year, clearly. Those guys are going to have to get better. But their front line, Thomas Houck has really improved playing the three.
Yeah.
I was going to say he was the best player in the four, but he wasn't because that Arizona freshman, Koa Pete, holy cow. If people have a chance, if you get a chance to watch Arizona play, that dude is big time. He's one of the best freshmen, maybe one of the best players in the country. And then how about Jaden Bradley? Who we remember from Alabama, as a senior, he looked like a veteran and took over the game when Florida came back and tied it late. He just took over. So Arizona looks like they're a threat to get to the Final Four. I think Florida is certainly a threat to get back there. And again, you watched Florida play, and then I watched some of the late stages of the Auburn game and then the overtime. No comparison between the two teams from the SEC that were in the Final Four last year.
Arizona comes to Birmingham December 13th, so you'll get to see.
That's right. Close. I thought they did. Yes.
Yeah.
If you don't have tickets, I suggest people get their tickets and watch because that should be a heck of a game.
No doubt. Kevin, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter / X @KevinSkarbinski. keep up with my columns every week in the Birmingham News. You can subscribe to that now online-only publication, or you can find them on AL.com. And then go to YouTube and follow my channel, Kevin Skarbinski-Scarbo Knows. Keep up with my two podcasts a week.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. We'll take this top of the hour break. That first hour is brought to you by Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
All the meat.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
The Cardinals break a five-game losing streak, beating the Cowboys 27-17. Jacoby Brissett getting the start in place of Kyler Murray. Murray questionable until the inactive list came out, but dropped about an hour before kickoff and then was made inactive. Commanders linebacker Frankie Louvu suspended without pay for one game due to hip drop tackles. The Ravens have traded for Titans edge rusher Jermont Jones for a fifth-round pick that could become a fourth-rounder. College basketball tipped off. 13th-ranked Arizona beat third-ranked Florida 93-87. Kelvin Sampson won his 800th career game, this one with the University of Houston. They're the number two team in the nation. In the NBA, the Timberwolves beat the Nets 125-109. The Nets winless so far on the season, 0-7.
Programs to strengthen families and prevent child abuse in West Alabama. For more information on Tuscaloosa's One Place Tinsel Trail free events, visit ttowntinsel.com.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Tuesday morning traffic now starting to get a little more volume in the area. We got 43. A lot of red lights here on the southbound lanes to McFarland with traffic thick back to Flatwoods Road. And then we've got Lurleen Wallace, of course, both east and westbound at the McFarland intersection.
Tuscaloosa Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice warm-up today with a sunny sky, the high 72. For tonight, fair with the low at 44. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. A good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons, highs between 73 and 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. Tuscaloosa Toyota, you know, the great website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. Don't pay those high rental car prices. You can rent that Toyota right there at the website. They also have a tab for new inventory, pre-owned inventory, schedule a service. You need to order a part, whatever you need, right there on the website. Swing by Skyline Boulevard. We'll talk to Justin tomorrow about all the inventory they have on the lot. But go to TuscaloosaToyota.com and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to the Tuscaloosa Toyota hotline and bring Tom in. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach. How are y'all this morning?
We're good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. You know, Coach, you were so right about Lagway in Florida. Him to miss that wide open receiver tells you everything about him. He ain't worth a flip.
He said he likes to throw in double coverage too much. He's always said that.
Well, he did. Absolutely. And, I mean, he played way above his head all afternoon against Georgia. And And Coach, you were right about that. I'll tell you something else you're right about, too, is the factions at Auburn. Now, John Cohen come out and told a damn lie yesterday, first thing right out of the bag about, oh, well, I don't listen to, there's no infighting down here. He didn't say it like that, but that's what he meant. And then he, like Barry said, tried to blame it on Alabama. They're obsessed with Alabama. That's like, I don't care what you say, they are obsessed. They can't go get a drink of water or you know what without thinking, what's Alabama going to say about it? And so they are obsessed with it, and he told that lie. And look at here. What I would like to say to John is, John, Auburn is not the only place that happens. It happens everywhere. You're a damn fool if you think somebody's going to give millions of dollars and not have input. I don't know who come up with that. That ain't going to happen. Who thought of that?
That's right.
I want their input. I want them to be happy. They give me money. They help me build my program. Come in here. What have you got to say? What do you think about this? I'm going to do a quarterback sneak on 4th and 1. Do you like that idea? Damn right I'm asking.
But do you think it's fair to blame John Cohen that Hugh Freeze didn't work out? I mean, everybody thought Hugh Freeze was going to work out. Everybody thought he was going to work out. He was doing great at Liberty. He recruits at a high level as offense. He develops quarterbacks pretty well. How would you know he would go down there? And, you know, they had some tough calls. But how do you you blame him for Hugh Freeze not working out?
Yes, I do. And look, it's like this. The book stops there. He hired me. That's a fact. But what John is not doing, and I said this yesterday, they're not reading the room. They're not reading the room. You got NIL, you got transfer portal. You got to evaluate how coaches are going to evaluate in this day and age. Look, Hugh Freeze missed on 2 quarterbacks. You would have thought he would have learned on 1, but he missed on 2. And you have got to have somebody that's confident and can read the room. John did not read the room. He did not read the room of athletics or he hired. You just cannot miss like that.
But how do you know he's going to miss? Like, he didn't miss at the other places.
Well, first and foremost, he was at Liberty.
Okay.
And that's not SEC.
You still got to develop a quarterback to win at that level. I mean,
I agree with you, but I tell you what, they were blinded by the fact, he beat Alabama twice. I don't care what nobody says. That was the criteria for hiring him. Don't tell me it's not, that's the way it is. Gus Malzahn, he got that huge extension because guess what? Jimmy Sexton could read the room. These jackasses down here will pay any amount because he beat Alabama. And guess what? He got it. Tell me I'm wrong.
You know, I don't know. I don't know how you – I would have thought Hugh Freeze would have done better. And they were close. They lost that Georgia game, that call – was brutal. They had a couple. The difference between winning and losing, it is so. In some of these games, I mean, just one play here or there. And are you really any better coach, or are you not as good just based on those one little plays there? So I think they were close. I understand why they had to fire him. I don't think he was good in the media, and I don't think he took responsibility. I think he put too much blame on people. And then when you watch Peyton Thorne play for a year, and then you bring him back again, then you're not evaluating. Either you're overvaluing.
Exactly right. You're exactly.
Yeah.
But see, I go back to John with that.
Yeah.
And I like John. Don't get me wrong. But you know, when we're on the radio, we can critique people and say things. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's up to you and coaches to shut up. Don't talk like that. But here's the thing. You had that. You had Hugh not evaluating because 2 years ago, JC said it. I said it 2 years ago. I got the feeling that Hugh Freeze was done. He had lost his desire to compete. And you cannot lose your desire to compete in the SEC because you will be eaten alive. Case in point, what we just saw happen 2 years with Hugh Freeze. Now, JC said it. I said it. John Talty wrote an article yesterday, or yesterday, Monday. Yeah, yesterday, that said that Hugh Freeze on day before game day was out on the golf course watching his buddies play golf. Watching his buddies play golf. That's not what Hugh Freeze needs to do the day before the game. John Talty had the same idea that me and JC did, that Hugh Freeze really liked golf a lot more than he did coaching, and he wanted to get fired.
Well,
so
he's
going to play golf every day. $400,000 a month, you can play a lot of golf.
You can buy some nice golf balls and some nice clubs.
Anyway, thank you, Tom. Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right, we'll get to break here. We'll get Coach Avery Johnson in when we get back from break. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Moving slow in Northport as you travel in towards town on 69 southbound at Union Chapel Road. Pretty much usual thickness here. And it's got you pretty stacked back to just shy of Hammertown Road. And then we've also got the usual happenings on 43 southbound onto McFarland. Intersection delays have you stacked back to Flatwoods Road.
Free battery charging and replacement. Batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. For more information, visit championslane.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Huber. Here are some thoughts from Alabama football head coach Kalen DeBoer as Alabama prepares for LSU.
Coming off the bye week, I think it was very productive. Guys got chance to get their bodies freshened up and mind as well. Yesterday was a great practice for us, full of energy and getting a chance to dial in the end of the week and going into yesterday on LSU and always focusing on continuing to improve. I think that our guys still really believe that that's the case. That needs to be the mindset we always have in our program. But heading into this game against LSU, we expect nothing but their best, a high level of energy. It's going to be a great environment. I'll just add that we need our fans to continue to be what they've been and show up and, continue to make Bryant-Denny Stadium the hardest place to play in the country.
I'll have more in a moment.
Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide!
Join us this afternoon for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
outside the locker room, get right up to the Yellowwood Hotline Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. Obviously, former coach here at Alabama, New Jersey, Brooklyn Nets, Dallas Mavericks. A good friend of Dad and I, Coach Avery Johnson. Good morning, Coach. How you been?
Hey,
Avery.
Hey, Coach. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing well, man.
I wanted to have you on and let you tell our listeners what you're doing. And I think you still got a couple of players that played for you at Alabama that are in the pros. Tell everybody what you're doing and a little bit about what's going on in professional basketball.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on. When I retired in 2019, I decided to pivot to private equity real estate business. So I run a private equity real estate fund. And fortunately, I have about 35 investors that invest with me where we buy a bunch of commercial 100% leased property. So it's going well. I got a small little team here. I'm still coaching, but I'm coaching a different team. And here in Dallas was a great place for me to relocate back to. A lot of friends here, business partners. And then, I still call a couple of games. This year, I'm pivoting from college to more NBA, which is my true passion. So I'll call or work the studio for a bunch of Maverick games, which helps me with my travel because my office is across the street from the American Airlines Center where the Mavericks play. So it's real convenient. I don't have to spend 3 or 4 days on the road going to San Diego State or Washington State or somewhere like that. So I've been able to reclaim some of my time. As for some of the guys that I've coached, a couple of weeks ago, Colin Sexton was in town, so he was playing against Dallas. So he's with Charlotte. He's playing well. He's averaging about 16 points a game. I'm really proud of him. He did a terrific job at Alabama for us, and really I think he was a spark plug for a lot of those five stars that came after him. And of course Herb Jones, he's doing well with the Pelicans. His team is not doing well, but Herb has been an outstanding pro. And I think Alex Reese is bouncing around the G League a little bit, but he came up to the NBA. So yeah, we're really proud of those kids. Avery Jr. Is living in Scottsdale. I'm glad I'm not coaching him anymore because my marriage is a whole lot better.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, before Barry talks, I got two houses. Will you sell them for me?
Yeah, I can take care of it for you. Well, I just want to know if you tried some of those steaks I sent you.
I got them. Let me tell you something. I got them, and I talked to Barry's wife, and talked to Barry. Barry's going to cook them for me. I don't know how to cook very good, but I've already told him how good they are, and I'm going to let him take a bite off each one. But they're really good looking.
Yeah, you don't want him to cook them; he'll ruin those steaks you sent.
Barry's right.
Well, Barry, you know this. When I was at Alabama, from day one, your dad welcomed me with open arms, and you did also. So it was really meaningful to me. I'd never coached in college, never even dreamed about coaching in college and coming to a program, that was really down and on life support. But your dad really was a great friend, traveled on some trips with us, and I still consider him a good friend. And I just wanted to let him know that I was thinking about it.
Yeah. Did he ever reach up to his wallet when he was on those trips, or did he make you pay for everything?
Here we go.
No, he was the first one in the meal room, by the way. Yeah,
yeah, he's hanging around. Talk about
it. I hear from Tim every now and then.
Oh, good. That's my guy. Another one of my guys.
Talk about the state of college basketball now. It's a lot different than when us three were coaching in basketball. You'd be the one that needs to be in college basketball now because you've coached in the pros. You've handled these guys that are making life-changing money. These average guys in college now, coach, are at the SEC level, are making money that we never dreamed about. How difficult is that? Are these guys getting too much too soon right now, you think?
Well, Barry, I tell you what, man. if I was coaching now, it would be so much easier.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me more of NBA. It's basically free agency. You can pay the players. You know, back when I was coaching, you know, Colin Sexton got in a little bit of a bind and, you know, we got suspended for the first game and had to pay, I don't know, $50 back to the NCAA, some, which was crazy. Folks losing their jobs. But now you can pay these kids millions and millions of dollars and without it being a problem. So I think I missed it by about 3 or 4 years. But yeah, it would be a lot easier now, especially with my relationships with all these folks in Dallas and Houston that have deep pockets that wanted to support the program. But yeah, I just hope that they find some sort of controls. I think the transfer portal is really problematic.
Yeah.
With this unlimited transfers, I think we need to, you know, kids need to stay 2 years and you maybe have a one-time transfer, but after that, you got to sit out. We have to put some controls on the transfer portal, which I think is hugely problematic.
Yeah, I agree. You spend all that time and, it's really hurting the high school kid, coach. People don't look at high school kids anymore. Unless you're like, you know, a top 50, top 75 kid, they just say, we're going to get all our guys in the portal, guys that we've already seen. So I don't know what these poor high school kids are doing because nobody's even looking at them anymore, but nobody talks about that.
Yeah, and I think it's twofold. And God bless him, Bill Battle, who hired me. Who was an incredible man, by the way. But I remember going to Bill, and I said, Bill, look, I know the university plane's not always available because Coach Saban has it, but I need about 5 or 7 aircraft so I can get around to watch all these high school kids and then AAU tournaments. But right now, Barry, you don't need them to go out as much as you need to go out because it's all about the money.
Yeah.
The kids are so, you know, I was talking to the San Diego State coach, Byron Dutcher. I don't know if he attends one AAU coach tournament or go to one high school game because it's basically show them the money and, you know, you can watch kids on video and he wants transfers. He does not want. He may take one high school kid.
Yeah.
So it's just so much different now with all the transfers and, you know, you're basically recruiting other kids. You're playing against another team, but when you're playing against that team, you're watching to see if any of those players could fit in your program.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
I don't guess you run into any of my former players that are Heath Askins, any of them that are traveling, do you? You probably don't.
You know what? Yeah, Coach, I run into Keith a little bit, you know, when he's out scouting, if he's here in Dallas scouting games. You know, I keep in touch, you know, a little bit with Derek McKee. You remember, Derek, I've told his story a million times, but I'll just say it one more time quickly. Derek McKee was the one that introduced me to Tuscaloosa in the fall of 1989.
Yeah.
We came and scrimmaged a little bit against the players, and I ate a bunch of Dreamland ribs, which is probably too much, and went to a football game. So Derek was a good friend when I played for Supersonics and introduced me to Tuscaloosa. And then I ended up playing 1 year with Antonio McDice a long time ago. So, yeah, a lot of Jim Farmer. So I had relationships and cross paths with a lot of your former players.
Well, Derek McKee's, I talked to all of them, but he's great. Just before you leave, tell us about teams that you think are going to be really good in the NBA that you're interested in watching.
Yeah, Wimp, I tell you one thing. You would love coaching Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, God, he's good.
Coach, I remember you had a phrase, I think it was Booger Bear. He's a Booger Bear.
Yeah. He's a double Booger Bear.
Yeah, man. Just 7'5", can handle the ball, defensive player. He's my preseason pick to win the MVP. So we'll see how that stands up. You know, the team has started off 5-1. You know, they drafted Dylan Harper, Ron Harper's son, the left-handed kid, who's a little bit like Manu Ginobili. You know, they got Stephon Castle from Connecticut. De'Aaron Fox is injured right now. So, yeah, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder, they're the cream of the crop, though. You know, they're the reigning champions.
That's a big deal, too, isn't it? Yeah, the cream of the crop is a big deal.
Yeah, man, in that market. Yeah. You know, I coached against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander when he was at Kentucky, and so he's an outstanding player. And they got the right core, you know, the right front office, ownership. In the Eastern Conference, Cleveland is struggling a little bit. They're 4-3. Philadelphia's playing a little bit above. But the Knicks, you know, it's probably going to be the Knicks and Cleveland, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals. Jalen Brunson, who knocked us out in 2018 when he played for Villanova after we upset Virginia Tech, has been incredible for the New York Knicks. They got a new coach, Mike Brown. Boston is not going to be nearly as good, because one of Avery Jr.'s good friends, Jason Tatum, is basically out for the year. So those are some of the teams to look out for. I don't really see any other real sleepers. Houston, Kevin Durant's with Houston now. So, you know, they could be a team that finished in the top four in the Western Conference. So keep your eyes on some of those teams.
How about Cooper Flagg? I saw Dallas, they've changed, played him at the point, which, I mean, he can handle the ball. I don't know that he's a point, but just talk about his game, and will he be one of the up-and-comers in the NBA?
Yeah, and obviously, like I said, since I'm right here near the arena, you know, a lot of what we see on television here locally is about the Mavericks. I think they have a chance to really be good, you know, but they got to get healthy. You know, Anthony Davis, his injuries has been problematic. Kyrie Irving is out probably, Barry, until January.
Yeah.
But this team can be really dangerous. They're big. P.J. Washington's on the front line. And you know, Cooper Flagg's been getting some reps at point guard. He's not a point guard. He's probably a three, especially when Kyrie Irving gets back. He needs to be receiving passes on the break, not initiating the offense. But in terms of his development, early in the season, it doesn't really matter. I think in terms of the games, these first 10 games, you can let him play the point guard and improve his ball handling skills. And then when Kyrie comes back in January or February, he'll be that much better. But yes, Klay Thompson shooting the ball, Lively and Gafford in the middle. They can get healthy. This team could be really dangerous.
Yeah, I forgot about Kyrie. All right, you got to tell me a story. I love to look on these social media and I hear these guys talk about Larry Bird. And when he played, he wasn't athletic, he couldn't jump, but he was a trash talker, and he would tell you exactly what he was going to do to you. If you put somebody on him, he thought it was disrespectful. He thought he was going to torture. Do you have a good Larry Bird story? What made him so good? Because he's not athletic at all. He can't jump, but what an amazing player he was.
Barry, in 1989, the Supersonics, we drafted Sean Kemp,
yeah,
who was Mr. Basketball out of Indiana, right?
Yeah.
And we know Larry's history in Indiana. So we go to play against the Celtics in Boston, in the Boston Garden, and Sean is guarding Larry. And Larry gets the ball on the wing, and he says, Kemp, who's the best player in the NBA? And Kemp says, Dr. J. And Larry sticks a jumper in his face. He said, wrong answer. So he proceeds to do this 10 times. So he said, after about 20 points, 25 points, 30 points, finally Kemp says, well, you're the best white player in the NBA. He said, wrong answer. So finally, about 40 points later, Sean Kemp gave up and said, Larry, you're the best player in the NBA.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But Larry was a trash talker, man. He was an elite player. And, boy, if his back could have stayed healthy, he could have possibly won a few more championships.
And he didn't even stay with Bobby Knight, did he? He quit Bobby Knight.
Yeah, he went to Indiana State.
He went to Indiana State.
I saw the game,
But Barry, can you imagine that front line with Parrish and McHale and Larry Bird? And they had, you know, Walton for a minute, and, you know, DJ in the backcourt, man. And that's when you could hold and grab, Barry.
Yeah.
You
can. Yeah. Yeah. All right, who's the GOAT? LeBron or Michael? It's not even close, is it, Coach?
It's not even close, Barry. I've never seen anything like Michael Jordan in my life.
Yeah.
Never seen it. Never. Yeah. And
we held it at 13.
What you running? You run a
he was a he was a freshman in college, and Dean Smith was the only guy that could hold back Michael Jordan.
Five at North Carolina State, they held it to 13.
Yeah.
I threw
my sport coat in the trash basket.
I tell you what, Barry, after Michael, and there's no disrespect to anybody, I'm telling you, the closest thing I've seen to Michael Jordan, another guy who's moved on, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
He those guys were just killers, man.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. I've had a front court seat to it right there on the court, and it's not a pretty picture.
You just can't teach their mentality, can you, Coach? Because everybody would do it. It's just something you're born with, I guess.
You really can't. And, you know, certain guys, I played with guys like Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki, Hakeem Olajuwon. All those guys just have that it factor.
Yeah.
And they're real disciplined. You know, those guys take great care of their bodies. And, you know, you can see it even on the college level. I remember Sexton was riding a bike, and he was shooting jump shots at 2 o'clock in the morning. He never wanted to party. He was a straight-A student. Same with Herb Jones. And look at those guys now. Look at how they've, you know, utilized that type of discipline that they had in college and catapulted it into solid NBA careers.
No doubt. Well, Coach, we appreciate it, you being on with us. Look forward to talking to you throughout the year about little hoops. We got to talk hoops in Tuscaloosa. It ain't all football. Talk a little hoops. So.
All right, and I got to say one thing, Wimp. If you need help on the blue plate, call me.
He needs a lot of help. He's 4-7. All right, 4-8. Yeah. So, thank you, Coach.
Right. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, let's tell them about Bryant Bank before we get to break.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank. Avery's a great guy. And Bryant Bank will do everything they possibly can to please your personal business account. Bank online around the clock. Know that your money is safe. Be interested in schools that surround the bank. Be darn sure that they'll help you if something comes up that you need more money or you want to check your account. So go by Bryant Bank and tell them you heard Barry on Inside the Locker Room and you want to open up a personal business account.
All right, to open up the phone lines. Also, the vinegar tip is next, brought to you by Michael McGuire State Farm Insurance. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Moving slow in Northport as you travel in towards town on 69 southbound at Union Chapel Road. Pretty much usual thickness here. And it's got you pretty stacked back to just shy of Hammertown Road. And then we've also got the usual happenings on 43 southbound onto McFarland. Intersection delays have you stacked back to Flatwoods Road. And McFarland, it's patchy but steady. Moving in between Academy Drive and 43, you're on and off the brakes. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours road
and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice warm up today with a sunny sky, the high 72. For tonight, fair with the low at 44. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. A good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons, highs between 73 and 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Wow. I feel good.
Inside, like phone lines are open 205-342-9904. If you want to feel good or look good or make something look good, then vinegar is your choice. It's brought to you by the Vinegar Tips, brought to you by Michael McGuire, our State Farm insurance agent. Michael and his staff are there ready, waiting for you. 205-752-8500, located at 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200, right across from Indian Hills, right there by Talbot's. Go by there today or give them a call, and they'll set you right up. What is the vinegar tip for
this? Well, I've been talking about veggies and food because it's going to be Christmas. Before long, people cooking a lot of stuff, and so I want to be sure that you get all the bugs off you. Of your stuff. So we talked yesterday about soaking them with vinegar and a dash of salt to be darn sure that those vegetables stay fresh. Now, you can add a tablespoon or two of vinegar to the water when you're boiling the water or steaming cauliflower. I don't get picked here for cauliflower. But cauliflower and beets or other vegetables, that's what you need to do, is add two tablespoons full of vinegar. It'll help you. It'll help them keep their color. Those beets will stay red. It improve the taste and reduce the gassy elements in it. So also, this is true when you're cooking beans or bean dishes. But to put water in there, salt in there, boil the water, put the vinegar in there, and you'll have a good. Because all of you cooking now, we'll get off of cooking in a few days, but we're gonna stay with cooking right now. So that's your vinegar tip.
Yes, all right. There you go.
Now on these steaks that he gave me, boy, I'm telling you, them Booker Bears are nice.
You put them in the freezer, right?
Yes, sir. I did. They're yours.
How many kind? What kind are they?
I don't know.
Why did he send you steaks?
I don't know. I guess because he likes me. I don't know.
How many did he send you?
I don't know. Enough of y'all. You'll be in good shape. I might stop buying these.
I'll cook you a couple of them.
I don't have a cook no more, baby.
You got to give me a day, and we'll thaw them out, and I'll cook them for you. All right, love. There you go.
I'm giving them to you. Y'all want your family to have some.
That's Vinegar Tips brought to you by State Farm, Michael McGuire Insurance, 205-752-8500. Also, once again, I was reading a lot of the tributes to Brian Harden yesterday. And people just, they go on and on about all the things he did for people, but never wanted credit for anything. When I was working with him about the radio advertisement, and we were going to come by and see him. He's like, you don't even need to do that. I'm going to do it just because of your family. And he didn't want any. He don't want you talking about him, this, that, and the other. So, what a legacy that when you read, there was one guy that had wrote about that had gotten in a situation with a dentist having to sue or something. And Brian told his wife, we can't let this boy go to jail. Bring me the checkbook, and, took care of everything for him. And that's the kind of guy that, Brian Harden was. So David, and all you guys that are out there, the whole family, his wife, Donna, all of them, we appreciate everything the Harden family does. We're thinking about you guys. All right, we'll get right to the Yellowwood Hotline, get Jason in. Good morning, Jason.
Morning. Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Hey, look, and obviously there's a delay, so y'all just said something, but I wanted to kind of piggyback on something that Wimp said at the very beginning of yesterday's show, and you did at the end of the show. I'm very fortunate to have a father who taught me the value of hard work. I'm also very fortunate to have met a lot of people in my life, and I know he's a sponsor of y'all's show.
I was just talking about Brian. Yeah.
Brian Harden is the prime example of the American dream. And what I mean by that is, he working at Maccabee and then going out on his own, the things that he has done behind the scenes and does not want any recognition. I was very fortunate to, and his son is my neighbor. I grew up with Brandy, his daughter, and they've always treated me like almost like family. But Tuscaloosa lost a good one. And if any of his employees or friends or family are listening, there's a lot of people I just wanted y'all to know that are thinking about y'all. And I appreciate you and Wimp letting me say that.
Yeah, if you read the comments about what people, you know, things that he did that people didn't even know about, and he didn't want credit for anything. He liked helping people. People that say they'd have long conversations with him, or I saw a guy who said his last text he got from him talked about how much he loved him. He said, "I'll never delete the text." But he wasn't looking for a lot of credit for anything, was he, Jason?
No, he wasn't. And look, I worked at Mercedes for 18 years, and I had a lawn and landscape business like I have now. But I remember back when he lived in Northwood Estates, and he gave me a chance of a landscape job, and he didn't have to.
Yeah.
But he said he believed in me, and he said, "Hey, now make my wife happy, and I'm happy." But he was just an encourager. Brian Harden was an all around good guy. It didn't matter if I saw him at a game or at a convenience store. He always treated me the same. And Tuscaloosa, like I said again, we lost a good guy.
No doubt. Well said.
Thank y'all. Appreciate Have a good day.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you. All right, with that, we'll go ahead and hardly even top that. We'll take this break. We can take a phone call to 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Looking at the typical road construction in the area. If you're moving on the eastbound lanes of 2059 just before Foster's, Holly Springs Lane, you do have long-term road work. And also moving about 2059 eastbound at University Boulevard, that's also long-term road work there. Now,
it's from the game. The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and two Dimes. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice warm-up today with a sunny sky, the high 72. For tonight, fair with the low at 44. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. A good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons, highs between 73 and 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Tonight, 7 o'clock, I think McElroy's will be in the studio with ESPN, but they have the playoff committee will release their first poll. I don't see the top four any different than what the AP got. They got Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, A&M 3. They're all undefeated. Alabama 4. So I think Alabama comes in at 4. Right now the AP poll has Georgia 6, Georgia 5, Oregon 6, Ole Miss 7, BYU, Texas Tech, Notre Dame. And Notre Dame started at 0-2. They've won 6 straight. I don't know about them being number 10 there. But do you think there'll be any surprises tonight with this poll that comes out?
You think everything's okay for Alabama to be 4?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Well, you know more about it than I do. So
I would think with their strength of schedule, they beat Georgia. So you know, ranked Georgia ahead of them. Oregon lost at home. Yeah. I don't think Ole Miss to be ranked ahead of them. So, yeah, I would think they're solidly at four.
So. Well, I think Ohio State and Indiana, I think even Indiana, they talk about the weak schedule. Indiana has some good wins.
But they blow you out when they play.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making. They don't beat you 14 and nothing. They beat you 40 for it. I mean, the guy's got a big ego, but he's done a good job with them. I think they're close to being what we think they are. People don't think, they're Indiana and they're not this, not that. I think they're a little bit more than they have been. And I think pretty much the way you called it, that's be pretty close to where it's going to be tonight.
Yeah, and then it'll start to change. You got this weekend. Yeah. We'll try to dig into more of the games tomorrow. But
Oklahoma game's going to be tough. I don't want to skip LSU, Barry, but Oklahoma game is where they pressure the people. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, this Saturday, 11 o'clock. Georgia-Mississippi State, a little tricky game there. Georgia 7.5-point favorite in Starkville. Ole Miss has got the Citadel, whatever. Texas A&M goes to Missouri. That's a losable game for A&M, so that could mess that up. Auburn's at Vandy. I don't remember what the line was yesterday, but right now it's sitting at 6.5. So that's I don't know. I don't know if that's low or not. But I guess they're believing DJ Durkin can play well defensively. Maybe they can muster up some points there. LSU is here. Bama line's going down. 9.5-point favorite there. And then Florida will take on Kentucky. Kentucky fresh off that big win at Auburn. Florida, they just need a win. Oh, Florida played pretty well against Georgia. So, all right, that'll do it for today's show. We'll get out of here and make way, Chase, for the Gary Harris Show. So keep it locked in here all day long. The weather is absolutely beautiful outside, so get out and enjoy that as well. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.